tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether off the sucker. A tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether off the sucker. A tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether. A tether off, we gonna tether. A tether off, we gonna tether. A tether off, we gonna tether. A tether off. A tether off. A tether off, we gonna tether. Tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether off the sucker. A tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether off the sucker, tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether off the sucker. A tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker, tether off the sucker. A tether off, we gonna tether off the mother sucker.
Hey, dog, I'm hungry. We got no meat or dairy products in our fridge, dog, and I'm hungry. What are we going to do? Delicious vegan recipes baked fresh every week with your favorite bands on Let's Get Baked with Matt and Dave. It's the finest radio baking program available. Tune in and bake along. You won't be disappointed. Hey, dog, are you hearing this? This is a really good idea, dog.
Mondays from 3 to 4 p.m. on CITR in Vancouver.
Let's get big with Matt and Dave. Eat some good food too.
Thunderstorms. See the lightning flashing. Thunderstorms.
Thank you for stopping that. If you actually want to learn more about weather, join the UBC Storm Club. For more information, email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Stop playing those cheesy songs and tune into News 101 Mondays and Fridays for your CITR weather forecast.
Stressed? Anxious? Lost? AMS Speakeasy Peer Support is here to help. We offer free and confidential support to all members of the UBC community. Located at the north entrance of the sub, we offer drop-in peer support, information, in-person and email referrals, and operate an after-hours crisis line. Call 604-822-3700 for support, or check out ams.ubc.ca/speakeasy for further information.
Hi, I'm Trevor Lennon, and I'm on my way to the game tonight listening to Wiener's Barbecue on CITR.
Sad. Talking about sports.
I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer.
Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. CITR Sports. Please listen.
All right, everybody. All right, everybody. Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And I have been away the last 3 weeks. I'm sure you haven't noticed a thing, but nonetheless, I was away having a very wonderful time. And I actually ended up finishing off my little vacation in Las Vegas, Nevada. and I had four nights of AKA going out in Las Vegas, and total blast, great time, but I am still paying for it today physically. It's one of these things where, like, you know, you feel fine, but you're not really talking to people, and you feel very lethargic, and then suddenly it's time to start talking. Just this exact moment, it's time to start talking on the radio, and I can hear my voice right now over these lovely CITR 101.9 FM Behringer headsets, and yeah, I don't sound quite all there. The voice is a little shaky. It is still a little coldish. I am still recovering from a cold, and my friend Ben Karp actually has the theory. I was there four nights. I got back last Tuesday night, and I took the viewpoint, I took the stance that I could stay on the Monday because I could save a lot of money flying home on the Tuesday as opposed to the Monday. Well, of course, it worked out in that, I did not save a nickel. I spent a bundle staying there on the Monday, and here I am. As opposed to, his theory is that every night in Vegas, two nights recovery, 2 days recovery. So I got home Wednesday, and Tuesday night, and I didn't even go out Wednesday. I spent Wednesday in bed. And yeah, it's now at the point where I'm starting to feel better. I'm not wheezing anymore. I'm at that point. But, you know, today is day seven. And yeah, let's go home after this show and take it easy again. Got some work to do, but, you know, watch the Canuck game tonight, of course. And then I guess tomorrow, another struggle through day. Or maybe I'm just trying to get to the weekend and got to take it easy another weekend. I don't know, but I sure am more useless than usual since I've been back. So there you do have it. Anyways, folks, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I am battling I don't know if it's a cold or just a grave amounts of fatigue today, but it is self-induced. So as they say, no sympathy for the devil. And we must trudge on. There we go. Having a little trouble with the headset there. And we must, come on, what are you doing? Don't leave me now, Mr. Headset. It's kind of going out in one ear. So we'll just move that. Uh-oh. This seems like it's going to be a consistent thing here today. All right, let's try to place it. All right, hold on. There it is again. Keeps going out on me in one ear. We don't like that. Anyways, folks, lots going on in the world of sports right now, of course, and the big topic, of course, is the National Hockey League. But we're not going to start today in the National Hockey League. We're going to go a different direction, and I'm going to sort of play right now. I'm going to play three interviews for you people right now, back to back to back. What? What do you want? What? Whatever. Anyways, I'm going to play three interviews for you people right now of a non-sporting nature. That's what we're going to do. And the first interview I'm going to play for you, I'm going to play an interview with Chris Pontius, who was Party Boy in the movie Jackass 1 and Jackass Number 2. Going to play an interview with Chris Mintz-Plasse, a.k.a. McLovin from Superbad. And we're going to play an interview I did, a 10-minute one with Super Dave Osborne that I played just before I went away. And then we're going to talk sports after that. So that's the game plan today. So without further ado, here's my interview with Chris Pontius from Jackass Number 1 and 2. And this is sort of like, yeah, I know it's a sports show, but we're going to sort of delve off into another direction today. And, you know, as we get back next week, then we will, you know, get back into all world of sports all the time. Saw somebody was calling there, but I didn't answer. All right, here's my interview. We'll be back to talk about it after. All right, we're here with Chris Pontius from Jackass 2. So, Chris, first off, tell us about the movie and why are we going to go see Jackass Number 2?
The movie is demented. It's just, if you like Jackass 1, it's just like that, but just everything's pushed, like, way farther, like, just the danger. Like, I'm surprised Knoxville even, like, survived it.
What did Johnny Knoxville do? What can we look for him to do in this one, Chris?
You know those like Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner cartoons when Wile E. Coyote makes the rockets that launch him like across a canyon. He like kind of made something like that in him. This rocket, like, you know, it wasn't just like jumping. It was insane. It was like, it was a really good chance he would have died on it, and he almost did die on it in that thing. And then he had he let these bulls like corner him into this. We made him a big like a teeter totter kind of thing.
Right, Chris. I heard he's blindfolded in a bull ring or something like that.
Oh, he did that. Yeah, we saw. Oh God, yeah, he gets blindfolded in a bull ring, and puts a cigarette in his mouth like it's his last cigarette, and just lets a bull just charge him. It was just, God. It was like we were talking about that idea, and I thought it was like a joke, like. I have no idea, man.
but
everybody did a great job in it, though.
But Johnny Knoxville and everybody survived, and it made really good film, hey?
It did.
Awesome.
That's what we do.
Awesome. And Chris, Party Boy. Everybody loves Party Boy. Party Boy back in number two?
Party Boy is around. I'm not wearing too much clothes in this one. but I'm not so fat anymore. So...
Well,
I don't know if Party Boys is funny anymore.
Yeah, people like to see a little fat guy dance around, Chris. So.
They do. I unfortunately lost weight.
Okay.
That's kind of fucked up. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. It's campus radio. We can slip every now and then, Chris.
Awesome.
We can slip every now and then. And Chris, I got to ask you from a personal standpoint, I've heard a rumor. I haven't seen it. There's something very disturbing with you involving a horse in this movie. Is this
there
correct?
There is. I
You can say it, Chris.
I guzzle some horse jizz. A lot of it.
AKA horse juice, eh?
Horse juice. Yeah. Knoxville. We got like a mare that was in heat in the. We found like a stallion, and we got them together, and then right before like he climaxed, we like I don't know. It's however they do like the artificial insemination, but. We acquired some of this juice, and it wasn't planned, but, you know, Knoxville handed me the cup, and I knew it had to be done. But at first I was like, you know, I did not want to do that, and I was like...
Understandable,
work,
yeah. Sorry, Chris, go on, yeah.
I showed up for work a few days before that, like, still kind of drunk from the night before, and Jeff Tremaine kicked me off the set, So I was in his black or in his bad books. So
you had to make up for it.
I had to make up for it, but before I drank this juice, I told him, I want to this. If I do this, this gets me out of not only the trouble for that, but something bad that I'm going to do in the future.
Awesome.
So he agreed to it.
Chris, personally, I've read a quote from you. I don't consider myself a stunt man, but more of a sex symbol. Are you
right.
A sex symbol?
Why a sex symbol?
Are you a sex symbol?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a stuntman too, but yeah. But most important is that you look really sexy while you're doing the stunts.
Nice. And what the other guy, Chris? I want to ask you about. I just read this guy's name. I have to say I haven't seen him. Is he going to be in Jackass Number 2? Where can I find him? Bear Johnson, the Alaskan porn sensation.
Oh, Bear Johnson is kind of in it, actually, in the first scene. Old Bear, that's one of my alter egos. My penis, we made it into a puppet and dressed as a mouse. And Knoxville's operating the puppet, and we stick it into, like, a glory hole. And on the other side of the glory hole is a snake. And, you know, everybody knows that snakes eat mice. So it was crazy, man. But, like, you know, I survived it, but that was hard.
How was India? You guys did a lot of filming in India.
Yeah, we filmed a lot in India, but we're not even going to use much of it. It went great, but India is just an out-of-hand place. Like, I don't know what to really say about it since we didn't use most of the footage. We had too much footage on this movie, and we had to, like, cut a lot of it out. Who else came up big in this? The best stunt, though, was Danger Aaron at the end.
What did he do? What can we look for? Danger Aaron.
It's not necessarily that it was so good of the stunt that he did. It was that he was the only one dumb enough to be fooled into doing it. God, I don't want to ruin the stunt. It's the finale of the movie, but...
All right, we'll keep our eyes open on that. Chris, on a personal note, though, I want to ask you, because I'm a big fan of this movie, and I read this is one of your favorite movies. Please tell me why. Please tell me why you like this movie. Big Trouble in Little China.
I knew you were going to ask that one. It's my favorite movie. I don't know, man.
Is it when they blow up, the faces blow up at the end?
I like that. I like all his lines when he's like, talking about himself when he's driving his truck, you know. An 8-foot tall guy grabs you in the bar, holds you up against the wall and says, "Jack, have you paid your dues?" That's when you look that 8-foot tall monster right back in the eye. You know what, the lines are so stupid that it's not even a sound good enough to read, but I just love it.
And the people that have seen Big Trouble in Little China know what you're talking about, right?
Oh yeah, they do.
Awesome.
You know, a lot of that's a big like cult kind of classic.
Chris,
people are into that movie, man.
Chris, have you ever been up to Vancouver?
No. I've been to Victoria. I've been to Vancouver Island.
Okay.
I want to go to Vancouver. I hear it's like the best place on earth.
Well, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Chris Pontius, party boy from Jackass Number 2. Chris, thanks for doing this. We're about to give away some tickets, Chris, to your show. We're going to give away some passes. Tell everybody why they should call up and win these passes.
Oh, yeah. Call up and win some passes to Jackass Number 2. It's amazing. If you like it, though, you're pretty messed up.
Sweet. Awesome. Chris Pontius. So, Chris, what's our favorite party boy scene in Jackass Number 2?
Let's see. Probably the credits. Is Party Boy does this big dance with all these these Bollywood dancers in India.
Do they know you're coming or no?
They don't know I'm coming, but they don't care, man. They just keep dancing.
Sweet, awesome. awesome.
That's the problem with India. Like no one is shocked by anything.
Oh, so your stuff didn't fly so well.
It worked. There was a lot of stuff. It worked. It worked great, but it was just, man, you just can't shock them.
Awesome. All right, Chris, we're out of time here. Chris Pontius, party boy in Jackass Number 2, Thursday, September 21st. That's when we got the passes to give away. Chris, thanks for coming on Wiener's Barbecue today.
My pleasure. Take care, man.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's my interview with Chris Pontius from Jackass Number 2, and we are not giving away. We are not giving away passes to the movie. I think it came out well over a year ago. But, yeah, I had a caller there, and unfortunately no passes today. But that was a fun interview, and I'm playing old interviews today because I guess I just don't have my act together, and that's what you do. But we're going to keep things going, and here we're going to play two more, and then I'm going to try an interview. I did an interview yesterday. I don't think it went well, but I'm going to play it regardless. It's with two of the Trailer Park Boy members, Randy and Mr. Leahy. And if you are listening, I'm going to play this interview probably about 25 minutes. Is call me up and either just tell me to stop. This is terrible. Maybe you like it. I don't know. I personally don't think it went very well, but yeah, I am interested in what you have to say. But if you want me to stop it in the middle of the interview, let me know and I'll stop it. Anyways, we're going to keep things going. Actually, the guy just wanted to hear it right now. Here's an interview I did. It's been played before on my show just before I left a couple times. March 3rd, 2008, here's me with Super Dave Osborne. This was a fun one, and that's what the caller wanted to hear, so I'll move it up in the slot. But here's me and Super Dave Osborne. This is a fun one. I'll tell you the story about the interview when we get back, but here it is. Okay, there you go.
Okay, here I am with Super Dave Osborne, and Dave, can I get this right? Your real first name or your real name from back in the day, David Einstein, that's true?
No, it's Bob Einstein.
Bob Einstein, I'm sorry, okay. When did you change your name?
You did a lot of good research, didn't you?
Off to a great...
This show is filled with research, didn't you? All you had to do is get my real name, and you came up with the wrong name.
I was close, though, wasn't I?
Well, sure. It's great.
Awesome.
No problem. I can't wait for the next question.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep things going here. I want to go back into a day, and when I was a young child, I remember watching this show. My father had me watch it. Bizarre Bazaar. Let's go back and talk about Bizarre Bazaar.
Okay.
What was it like shooting Bizarre Bazaar?
Well, it was called Bizarre.
Okay.
It wasn't Bizarre Bazaar.
I'm doing poor at best.
What is the name of this show? Facts or Us?
Okay. Tell us about the show Bizarre. I apologize.
No, no one ever said Bizarre Bazaar. I thought you were having a little emotional problem where everything you were going to say is twice. So that I was going to have to say everything twice. It was always the first series in the history of cable television starring John Biner, and it went on for 6 years, and it started in Canada and on Showtime in the States, and we shot a more risque version for Showtime and a cleaner version for Canada, and it was an absolute blast.
And were you doing your own stunts in this show?
Up to a point.
Up to a point.
Yes, when I'm on top of a bus and I go under a tunnel and I get hit under a tunnel going 50 miles an hour, that's not actually happening to me because I would have died many times.
So you're not actually the guy getting run over there?
Not all the time, no. Sometimes, yes, but a lot of the times, no. When a train hits you and you're inside a little car and you're actually doing it, you probably won't live. If you're in there.
You did the math and you figured not a good thing to do, hey?
Exactly.
And was there a favorite scene in Bizarre that Super Dave Osborne that brings back the best memory?
I guess King of the Road and a slam dunk I did, which was later turned into a Nike commercial, and when my head was pounded into the ground, and when I was in a race car and it was dropped into a car crusher, and then they interviewed me inside the car. I did an awful lot of stunts in those days.
Right, and you guys actually ended up having a Super Dave cartoon also, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We've taken this character far enough that they could burn us at the stake, I think. We did a movie, cartoons, everything.
Is Super Dave coming back anytime soon?
Well, it's funny you should ask. I don't know why, but no, I'm currently in talks with a network, an American network, to do 6 half-hour specials. If everything comes to fruition and if they agree to do it exactly as I want to do it, then yes.
Ah, so you're at the point where you got to call the shots, though, hey?
Well, if I don't, it won't be the way I want it, and then it wouldn't be too good.
Right. And are you bringing back a lot of the old cast to shoot this one?
I'll definitely bring back Don Lake. I'm not sure about Fuji. I will have a Fuji, but the original Fuji I'm not sure about.
Terrific, because Fuji was also in the cartoon, wasn't he?
He absolutely was.
Terrific. And obviously, you know, recent people and TV in recent years, Maury Funkhauser on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's Marty Funkhauser.
I'm missing everything.
How long have you been doing this show?
We started in January, actually.
I kind of like it because nothing is ever really right. But you say it with a lot of confidence. Of course, everyone loves Maury Funkhauser.
Marty Funkhauser.
I used to have an agent who got names wrong like that all the time, important names. And we'd ask him to book someone, and he'd book someone that was close to who we wanted, but never the right person.
But my agent's doing it. Eli's doing it right. You are, in fact, Super Dave Osborne. We at least have you here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Tell us about shooting Curb Your Enthusiasm and how this one started.
Well, it's just a lot of fun. It's similar to the way I did my show in that everything is ad lib. You have a premise and an area which you have to follow and fill in, but the dialogue is all ad lib, so it makes it 10 times more fun.
And did Larry David approach you for this role, or did you try out for it, or how did
no,
that
No, I don't try out for things, but thanks a lot. No, yes, Larry called me and asked me if I would like to do it, and I said yes, and we did it. And we've done it for a few years now, and people seem to like it, so I think it's a great show, and it's a lot of fun.
And the episode
you
I
want to mess up my name in Ocean's 13 too, as long as you're doing it.
I haven't seen Ocean's 13 all, actually.
Oh, well, why would you do research? Why waste your time in doing research when you're talking to a guest?
Exactly. You were in...
Maybe you could see it after you run this interview.
I'll do it.
Then you could ask me a question when I'm not on.
What would the answer be?
I don't know what the question is, so I can't really do it.
Oh, that's too bad. Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Dodger Stadium episode. You guys were actually filming in the middle of a game there?
I'll tell you a great story about that. Yep. Not only that, but yes, we were. But about 6 months after that episode aired, I got a call, and an attorney said, my client says that he was at the Dodger game when they were doing a Super Dave episode. I said, no, it was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. He said, oh, but were you in it? I said, yes. I said, what is your client up for? He said, murder. I said, I'll tell you what, call this number. And so I gave him the number of Larry. And they went over there, and his client had been in jail for 6 months, convicted of murder. They didn't believe. No, it's a true story.
Yeah, I know. I don't mean to laugh.
It was real. They looked at five cameras, nothing. The sixth camera showed him in the background with his boy.
So that's when the murder took place, and he was actually in your episode in a camera shot.
Yes, he was murdering his little boy, and we got to see that, and it was a lot of fun. No, it got him out of jail because it was an excuse.
That's where he was. Wow. So that had to make you feel good. I mean, and that
it
actually
did. This silly show actually acquitted someone of murder. However, there were still 3 hours unaccounted for, so I'm not sure if he did it or not. But I do know he was at the ball game, and the miracle was he happened to be sitting in that section, or they never would have seen him.
Wow. So there you go. Awesome. Super Dave Osborne with us right now. Super Dave, thanks so much for doing it. And you're also...
Well, thank you for getting everything wrong. I've never had an interview where every single thing was not right, and it makes me feel kind of neat.
You like golf, though, don't you?
I love golf.
What's your handicap?
I'm about 14.
All right, you're decent. What's your best club? What's your money shot?
I don't know. I drive the ball pretty well. I mean, when you're a 14, you don't have a best club. But I can play okay. I'm not quite yet Tiger. I don't have everything perfected. My short game is not what it should be. And, of course, putting is putting.
There you go. And
you play golf?
I play golf, yes.
And what's your handicap?
I'm about an 18, so not as good as you.
No, so you're probably about a 27.
Well, you can tell I can't even count probably, right?
So. No. Your score, give me a 5 after you've been in the lake twice. Doesn't really work.
Well, keep in mind, we are up here in Canada, and, you know, you're from Winnipeg. I got that right, didn't I?
I'm not from Winnipeg.
Where are you from?
My partner's from Winnipeg.
Well, where are you from?
I'm from California.
Oh, we're really blowing this, eh?
But you know what? It doesn't matter because everyone thought I was Canadian because I was on for 12 straight years, and I love the Canadian people. They're just nice Americans.
There you go. So that,
and
you...
I love Toronto. I loved working there.
Have you ever been out to Vancouver?
Yes, I have.
What'd you think of our fair city?
It's gorgeous. It does rain 24 hours a day for 6 months, but if you don't hang yourself and you can wait till the summer, it is beautiful.
Perfect. And that's why you got to give me some slack here. I can't golf for half the year, Super Dave.
I know that.
So that's got to play into my high handicap.
I know.
So there you go. Awesome. Super Dave Osborne, Super Dave.
Well, this has been, look, I've done 40 Carson shows, 50 Letterman, and Larry King, everything. This has been the most unusual interview, I have to be honest with you.
Perfect. I love you for doing this, Super Dave. Thanks for staying with me. And
you're very welcome, and keep going, and just don't do any research. It's crazy. It's a waste of time.
Enjoy the beautiful weather of Southern California. We've got pouring rain here today.
All right. Well, stay inside.
Okay. Thanks, Super Dave.
Bye.
Okay, so there's my interview with Super Dave Osborne. I did about almost a month ago. And the story is, I'm hopefully not that big of an idiot, but the story is, I was at home, and my cousin called me, and he goes, Super Dave Osborne can do an interview in 10 minutes. And I book on down to his studio, book the studio in my car. I'm at home, and about 5 minutes from the studio, you know, I'm driving through traffic on a Monday afternoon, honking at tow trucks the whole bit. And about 5 minutes away, I call my dad, and I'm like, because, you know, Super Dave Osborne says you can interview him, you have to do the interview, right? So I called my dad. I go, Dad, I'm interviewing Super Dave. Give me some information. Well, there you have it. Got his name wrong, told me the wrong show. We both agreed with Maury Funkhauser on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I got golf right, and then, of course, Winnipeg. So there you go. That was me with Super Dave, and he's cool, hey? I mean, that was he was pretty good there. A lot of guys, I think you'd agree, probably just sort of hang up on you, and that'd be the end of that. So there you have it. All right, we're going to keep moving on, playing some interviews from the past, and this next one is from the hit comedy movie of the summer, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, a.k.a. McLovin from the movie Superbad. I did this one on the first day of school, September 4th, 2007, and here's that interview, me and Christopher Mintz-Plasse, a.k.a. McLovin. Oh, by the way, Canuck fans, it is currently 3-0 St. Louis over the Nashville Predators, and that's a big one there. With 11:36 left in the first period, Canucks currently lead Nashville by 1 point in the standing. So even if they do lose tonight and Nashville loses, they're still in the playoffs this time tomorrow. So it's a big game, and if they can win tonight or even get a point tonight and Nashville loses, hey, all the better. No, I don't think it matters, actually. Oh, yeah, it does. What am I talking about? Anyways, big game to watch there. Great start for St. Louis over Nashville. So Canucks can win. Nashville loses. They will be 3-0. Both teams have 2 to go. Nashville will have the tiebreaker, but that's a biggie. All right, here in the meantime is my interview with Christopher Mintz-Plasse, a.k.a. McLovin.
Okay, here I am with Christopher Mintz-Plasse from... Yeah. He is from the movie Superbad. He's off touring Europe right now. And Chris, I asked you this. We had equipment problems, but I'm going to ask you again, who is your favorite Canadian?
It's a tie. It's a five-way tie between Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, Matthew Bass, or Michael Cera. Actually, that's 4.
And Chris, you mentioned people everybody knows, but you did mention one of my favorite people in the world, Matthew Bass. He was the lead character in your movie in the subplot, The Vegetastic Voyage.
Fantastic, hell yeah.
I mean, we're getting some of that in the DVD. We're going to see a little more Vegetastic Voyage?
I hope so, for Matthew's sake. That was his 3 minutes of stardom right there.
There you go. Awesome. and Chris, what's it like working for Canadians? Because, you know, you mentioned Michael Cera, Evan Goldberg, and Seth Rogen, 2 Canadians. What's it like working for Canadians?
They're great, man. I mean, it's not really any different than working with Americans.
Awesome. But do you understand, though? See, they're away. These are L.A. guys nowadays. They're off in Los Angeles. There is a difference between West Coast and East Coast Canadians. Are you aware of that?
No, I've never been to Canada, so I wouldn't know.
Well, just so you know, when you hear Canadians talking about, you know, how I'm all Canadian, if you hear a guy from Toronto and if you hear a guy from Vancouver, there is a difference. Just so you know that.
Okay, that's good to know, definitely.
Just so you know that. Are you a hockey fan, Chris?
Kind of. A little bit. I mean, I'll watch it if it's on, but I'm not a huge, avid fan.
Okay, so what I'm going to do right now for you, Chris, because, you know, it is a bunch of Canadians in the movie, and you're from Los Angeles, correct?
Yes.
Okay, are you ready for a Canadian quiz?
Oh, sure.
Okay, here we go. All right, because I asked you hockey. Our first one's a hockey question.
Here, oh,
Chris, we've got 5 questions for you, okay?
I might fail miserably.
Okay, okay. He played for the LA Kings from 1988 to 96 and is the leading scorer in NHL history, and he married Janet Jones. Who am I talking about?
Wayne Gretzky.
Attaboy, that's one.
Nice.
That's one. There you go. Okay, ready for number 2, Chris?
Let's do it.
Okay. He played Barf in Spaceballs and was once part owner of the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League.
Oh, John Candy.
Well done. Did you know it from the Canadian Football League part or Spaceballs?
Spaceballs.
Okay. All right, now we're going into multiple choice. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. What is our national animal? For your record, Chris, I got this one wrong, okay? Is it the beaver, moose, loon, or polar bear?
The moose?
It's the beaver.
Oh, that was my first guess, but then the moose just clicked in my head, but...
Chris, it's actually the first day of school today out here on UBC campus. And
oh, wow.
Just so you know, they tell you in multiple choice, always go with your first thought.
You should have told me that before.
Okay, well, now you know. We got two more, okay? You're still doing good. You can still get 4 out of 5 here.
Okay.
Okay. What food do Canadians consume more per capita than anywhere else in the world? French fries, donuts, hamburgers, or macaroni and cheese?
French fries.
Really? Chris, not
donuts.
A good guess. Sorry, it's macaroni and cheese.
Oh, man.
I thought you were going to say donuts, actually.
I thought so, too.
Okay.
God damn it.
Here we go. The final question, Chris. Are you
okay.
ready? Actually, I'll give you two more. Name the best-selling beer in Canada.
Oh, okay.
All right, you think you can do this one? No, I'll give you a multiple choice here.
Okay.
Molson Canadian. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's delicious. Okay.
Holy Cow, Miller Genuine Draft, or Labatt Blue?
Labatt Blue?
You got it, Chris!
All right.
Okay, the last one, okay?
Yeah.
All right, the last one. This is to make it so you pass, a 3 out of 6, okay?
Right.
If you get caught by police in Vancouver with 1/8 of an ounce of marijuana... you automatically go to jail for 1 year.
That's a bummer.
True or false?
False.
Attaboy.
Now I want to come there really bad.
With us right now, Christopher Mintz-Plasse from the movie Superbad. He played McLovin. He played Sammy Fogel in the movie. Did you get to meet Sammy Fogel yet? I know him personally. Have you met him yet?
I did. I met him a couple weeks before we shot the film, and then I met him a couple times in between, and then I met him at the premiere, too.
Was he an inspiration for you in the role?
A little bit. I mean, I kind of wanted to give him my own direction, but he, I watched him, and I studied him a little bit.
Do you feel like you are cheating the world right now in how successful you've got? I mean, are you giving yourself credit for how amazing you are doing in this movie, or are you a little dumbfounded still?
I'm very dumbfounded. I give Judd Apatow all the credit of my fame.
Awesome. And the other questions I have for you, Chris, is what is the best part of your job right now? Because you're traveling the world. You're in Glasgow right now. You're a movie superstar. What's the best job and what's the best part of your job and what's the worst part of your job right now?
The best part would be that everything is paid for on my trips. All the food, all the everything I can buy, sweatshirts and souvenirs and all that, everything is paid for, which is awesome. And then the worst part would be... waking up really freaking early for interviews.
And I'm part of that problem, eh, Chris?
No, it's like 6 o'clock over here, so you found me perfectly for an interview.
There you go. And I'm the one that had to get up early for you this morning, Chris.
Exactly. See, the tides have turned.
Awesome. And Chris, you're a young guy. You're still in high school, or you just finished high school.
I'm sorry.
And everybody in the movie, it seems, is older than you. I'm told in real life.
Yeah, everyone. So, Michael's a year older than me.
So what's it like partying with older people all the time?
It's fun. I mean, they all kind of act a little bit immature, so we're kind of on the same mentally age.
And I'm told, Chris, that you are a big fan of ketchup potato chips and all dressed potato chips.
What? Who told you that?
Evan Goldberg told me that.
What? Ketchup potato chips and... Oh, wait! I think I had those once a very long time ago on set. Those are Canadian chips, right?
You know what? I didn't even know they were Canadian, but he told me he gave them to you, and you loved them.
I did, yes. I didn't even remember that until right now.
Tell us about your experience with ketchup and all-dressed potato chips.
I just remember Evan brought them to set one day, 2 bags, and they were delicious. I ate like half the bag.
But you haven't had them since?
Nope.
So that's another thing you will do when you come back to Canada?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Chris. I'll give them to Evan. I will have for you various flavors of ketchup and all-dressed potato chips for when
nice.
You come back
Thank
to Canada.
You.
Is
Thank
that
you
fair?
Very much.
What's up?
Thank you very much.
So that's what is that fair as a gift for doing this interview?
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome gift.
There you go. Art, so I'm told, though, that you've actually got another movie coming out that
yes.
you've done it with Paul Rudd. So you're starring in it. You're, yeah?
Back. Huh?
You're starring in a movie? You wrote it with Paul Rudd or something like that?
Oh, I didn't write it, but, yeah, I'm starring in it with Paul Rudd and Sean William Scott, and the director of Wet Hot American Summer, David Wayne, is directing it, so that'll be awesome.
Wait, is that done, or has it started
yeah,
yet?
Right when I get back from this tour, we're starting filming it.
Okay, cool. So what's it about?
It's like Sean William Scott and Paul Rudd are buddies, and they get in some sort of trouble, so they have to choose, they have to do community service, so they choose the Big Brother benefit, where, like, they help younger kids, and I would be Paul Rudd's little brother, and then craziness happens.
Not bad. So are you going to bulk up at any time soon and do some action film?
Possibly. I mean, I'm down to do a Fight Club sequel and then buff up all fat and be all sexy. I wouldn't mind doing that.
You're ready for it, eh, Chris?
Oh, yeah, very.
Okay, Chris, I'm gonna pitch you my movie idea. Evan
okay.
and Seth thinks it's they both think it's garbage. Okay?
Okay.
So here it is. I want to know if you'll star in it for me. It's guys are out fishing, and their friend's gone. They don't know what happened, so they declare war on the lake, and the whole movie is them fighting the lake.
Okay. That could be interesting for about 20 minutes. It might get old after a little.
I got to work on it, hey?
Yeah, you know, give it a little outline, and it should be good.
Okay, I don't know what I'm doing, though, Chris. I'm just happy that I have a movie idea. So.
Right.
I'm just happy that I have a movie idea. So Europe's treating you good? You guys are on your European tour right now, and things are just going as good as ever, hey?
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Awesome. What's your favorite part of Europe so far?
London, definitely. Just going, being of age, you know, being able to drink over here is amazing. Going to pubs every night. That's awesome.
Awesome. Christopher Mintz-Ploss from Superbad with us right now. Chris, a couple questions here, and then I'll let you go on your way. It's
okay.
The first day of school out here on campus right now.
Oh, very cool.
Okay, so things are popping. So what would McLovin be doing on his first day of school right now, first day of university?
Sleeping in every class I go to.
Okay. Does McLovin have a message for everybody on the first day of school?
Yeah, just don't really try because it's really not that important, school. I think you should cheat off your friends and ditch class as much as you want to and drink every night and have a party every day.
There you go. And would he be going out with Nicola right now?
Possibly. He might be going out with Nicola and Nicola's two sexy friends.
There you go. He's working it, eh?
Yeah.
And last question for McLovin. Would he be trying out for any sports team?
No. McLovin is not a sports player.
He's not a sports player. Chris, who's going to win the football game right now, UBC or SFU? Who are you rooting for?
UBC.
Yeah. All the way, hey?
All the way.
Awesome. Chris, I really do appreciate this today. I know this is your day off and you're doing this for me, aren't you?
Yeah.
I love you for it.
I'm laying on my bed right now. It's really not that much work.
Evan Goldberg actually is going to be on the show right just before you. Do you have
cool.
a message for Evan Goldberg?
Tell him that I miss him and I miss his body on top of mine.
Oh, wonderful stuff. Chris, I do appreciate it. Thanks a bundle.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
All right, that's my interview with Christopher Mintz-Ploss, a.k.a. McLovin, from the movie Superbad. Hopefully you did enjoy it. And this one, I'm not sure if it's good at all. As a matter of fact, I don't think it is good, but we're going to play it anyways. Here's me with Randy and Mr. Leahy from Trailer Park Boys. All right, I'll play it. What the hell? Okay, here we go.
That was dead air on the radio. I think it's worse to have dead air than it is to say shit on the radio. Okay. Isn't it amazing? Because as Jim Leahy would say, you know, the fecal fortitude is really funicular. You know, it is That's an alliteration. But he's been drinking a little lately, and so he gets carried away. He's whisked back to his early days as an altar boy and had to memorize Latin, a deum creatificat, juventutem meum. Whatever happens with Jim Leahy and Randy usually happens on the spot, sparked by the intercession of people in the audience who like to throw hamburgers at Randy or ask me to drink a 26-ounce or neat. A guzzle.
What did Jim Leahy and Randy think about coming to the beautiful city of Vancouver? Is this a place they enjoy?
Listen, the trouble is that we were in Quebec City 2 weeks ago, and we discovered the most beautiful city. Look, Halifax is where I'm from, right? So I know about pretty little towns, but we just love Vancouver. Last time, there was a big pit up at the end of the street there, the Hastings or whatever, and I fell in. Was about 200 feet deep. have you guys got that fixed up yet?
No, definitely not. But the Olympics are coming in 2 years, so if you come back in 2 years, things will probably be fixed by then. But in Vancouver, Mr. Leahy, we have very lenient marijuana laws. Is that something you think the police should be enforcing more, or are you all for this?
What did you say?
We have our lenient marijuana laws in the city of Vancouver, though.
Oh, you're talking about marijuana laws. Now, this BC bud stuff, you know, there's 18% of Canadians smoke marijuana, which is the highest percentage in the world. But what's more interesting than that is that a Japanese astronaut threw a boomerang in space last week at the request of a scientist friend, and everyone in the audience will say, hey, the boomerang went forever. But guess what, bud? It came back. So nothing that we know, Newtonian, Einsteinian, nothing that we can rely on is true anymore, because everybody out in BC is going to be buzzed on BC Bud.
Cool. And what's been the favorite, what's been the scariest thing that somebody has thrown at you while on stage?
A really tough line to riposte. No, I don't know. We were treated pretty well. Once in a while, people get so exuberant they jump on us. That's, you know, when they're a little obese, it hurts. But other than that, oh, hey, guess what?
My friend
Pat Roach, a.k.a. Randy Bobandy, look, he's eating healthy. He's having sushi. He's working out. He's doing, the guy has turned, Randy will be no more. He's getting svelte. He's getting beautiful. He's going to look just like Jim Reeves, that Superman fella. Here he is, Randy. Say hi to Daryl.
Hey, Randy, this is Daryl Wiener talking. How are you today? I hear you're eating healthy. What's going on?
Well, I'm just starting to cut back a bit. I've got back to just single cheese on my cheeseburgers, and I'm not getting doubles anymore. I'm only getting singles.
But what are people going to do? I mean, people, they love Randy's belly. If that's not there anymore, what are people supposed to think?
I think that they should probably join me.
Okay, I'll play that interview another day if you want. I don't know how you'll tell me to do it, but we'll just go with that. Anyways, I know I did play it earlier on in the show, so I am going to play it again. Hold on, we have a caller. Let's find out what he has to say. Let's try this button, okay? Hello, you're on. What? Turn down your radio.
I turned it down. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. What?
Keep playing the Mr. Lane and Randy Bobandy, man.
Did you like that interview? I don't...
Fuck yeah, man. You cheeseburger-eating motherfucker. Put that back on.
All right, the caller gets what he wants. Okay, all right, you win.
All right.
I have to get it back to the spot, though.
All right, we've got to put it back on, though.
Hold on.
Put some more cheeseburgers in his glove.
All right, it's not going to be at the exact spot, but it'll be pretty close. Right. Is that all right?
All right.
It just goes on pure ramble, but you like that, hey?
I do. That's awesome. They're hilarity. It sounds like
you're cutting into the interview.
Drunk.
You're cutting into the interview right now.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Superman fella. Here he is, Randy. Say hi to Daryl. Daryl.
Hey, Randy. This is Daryl Wiener talking. How are you today? I hear you're eating healthy. What's going on?
Well, I'm just starting to cut back a bit. I've got back to just single cheese on my cheeseburgers, and I'm not getting doubles anymore. I'm only getting singles.
But what are people going to do? I mean, people, they love Randy's belly. If that's not there anymore, what are people supposed to think?
I think that they should probably join me because, you know, we shouldn't eat that many. Like, having 5 cheeseburgers a day should be the maximum that you eat.
What's your how are Fairy cheeseburgers? How are the Fairy cheeseburgers coming from Campbell River?
They're very tasty. They're from that white spot.
Ah, the white spot. You guys have that in Nova Scotia, don't you?
No, we don't. No, the white spots found the G spot in the cheeseburger.
Perfect. So, Randy,
the G spot stands for the good spot. That's what you eat when you eat the cheeseburger and you feel good. That means it's got an H spot too, hamburger spot.
Awesome. And Randy, traveling.
What you should do, dude, is make sure you get onion rings.
Onion rings?
Because if you don't get the onion rings, then you with ketchup, the cheeseburger tastes kind of more like chicken.
We don't want that, do we?
Nothing wrong with chicken as long as there's bacon.
So, do we add bacon to the cheeseburger then, or what's the story?
I like bacon, and if you get every pork group and fowl group on your burger, then you just have to eat once a day and make sure the veggies are there. I'd even throw an apple on there. Why not?
Randy, are you going to keep going with the TV show without wearing your shirt, or are you going to put it on eventually?
I don't like shirts. I don't think shirts are all they're cracked up to be because, you know, they come from places where people don't get paid enough to make them. You know, they should be out making some cheeseburgers and eating instead of making that stupid shirt, getting paid 10 cents an hour. Mr. Leahy told me that there's a place. They're all walking around Nikes, but I don't know. They're not eating enough cheeseburgers, is what I've been told.
So it's a
problem. I'm going to start my own company. I think it's going to be called Cheeseburgers for Life. And I'm going to get an army of people, and we're just going around giving people cheeseburgers.
Perfect. So it's a political statement more than anything else, not wearing a T-shirt.
The shirts, I mean, as long as you have sunscreen on, you're fine. Really.
So
if you don't, you're going to get a burn. And you know what happens when you get a burn? Cancer. Cancer happens, and then it's just bad news because then you wish you could eat a cheeseburger, but you're not even hungry.
Awesome. And Randy, you know, you're coming back to Vancouver here today. You're on a ferry from Campbell River. What are your thoughts of the city of Vancouver?
I have to go get Mr. Leahy a drinky poo.
No,
just
no,
one second.
No,
here he is.
No, just, Randy's an epistemological Episcopalian, so he does tend to dribble and drabble a little bit at the most. The stuff about cheeseburgers is hyperbole. It has nothing to. Right now, he's eating sushi, so he's a big faker. He loves to mix the wasabi with the. Oh, it's a ritual that he does, and his eyes glaze over, and he starts to hum and chant, and his whole body moves in rhythm. And it's like a sacred moment, a kind of sacrament. It's incredible.
So
now he's playing with his chopsticks. Mm-mm.
So, Mr.
Anyway.
Yeah, Mr. Leahy, sorry, just last question. So you're telling me that Randy was lying to me, that he was saying he was eating cheeseburgers, but he was actually eating sushi?
See, we have a problem. I don't drink. John Dunsworth doesn't drink. But Jim Leahy is a poster boy for alcoholism. I'm constantly in a quandary. Now, when we charge people, you know, $40 a head or whatever it is to come and laugh at us, I feel guilty, you know, telling them that tonight could be the night that they could establish a relationship with alcohol that will last them the rest of their lives. Because I basically think that alcohol is pretty pissy poor. And so is gambling. So is crack cocaine. So the only thing that's really legitimate in this life, as far as I'm concerned, is friendship and love and sexuality and good, plain, simple foods. Right?
Wow.
And that be kind and nice. That's one thing I really love about being out here in the West Coast. There's a real mixture. It's like being on Queen Street in Toronto and seeing the teeming yellow peoples from the world. I'm sitting across from Tony Lee, who's clicking pictures off here. He's like a paparazzi. He's a yellow X-rated hypnotist who likes to make fun of the small size of his proboscis. For those people who know, proboscises are noses. But the thing is that when we love, when we embrace the world, when we put aside our own petty little knick-knack or knock-over, that brings me to the fact that we are in trouble financially here in North America. That, The problem here is that people want to golden spend, and Georgie's saying golden spend, but there's nothing left to spend. The plastic is extreme. It's over the limit. There's nobody's got shit to spend except the people on the West Coast. They got so much money. I'm just blown away out here. People come out to the nightclubs, they buy us drinks, and they party, and they drive these muscle cars, and they got all the bling-bling from the hip-hop, MC, whatever it is. I gotta run.
Awesome. No worries. Jim Leahy, John Dunsworth.
Mr. Leahy.
No
problem. Cheeseburger and drink. Hello.
Patrick Roach. Patrick, thanks so much for doing this here today. You and John Dunsworth.
Okay, there you go. That is my Mr. Leahy and Randy interview. Can I, if you guys are listening, the guys who called before, I would like, honestly, to get an opinion of that interview. I did it, and I had no idea what was going on during the interview. I tried to just keep going, but are they going to call? No, they're not. I mean, oh, here they are. Okay, I want to know from you guys, okay? All right, turn down your radio again, please.
Oh, dude.
Turn down your radio.
Oh, sorry, I turned it down and almost hit a curb.
There you go. Okay, was that good? Was that awesome?
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. The fact that Leahy sounded like he was wasted was gold. And the fact that Randy talked about cheeseburgers for about 10 minutes is gold. Dude, that was golden, man.
How did I do? Because I was kind of dumbfounded the whole time, but did I get...
Dude, it was still the gold, man. You were, compared to the Super Dave, I mean, that's... But, I mean, you still pulled that off. So, I mean, I think it was pretty gold.
Okay. Did you like the Super Dave interview? Or?
I love the fact that he was ripping on you for forgetting shit. That was awesome.
Can I play it again?
Dude, you need to have bubbles on the show, man.
Well, I got to try to get him. Can I play Super Dave again?
Should you play Super Dave again?
Yeah.
I don't hey, what about the Adam Goldberg interview?
Adam Goldberg? Who's Adam?
Oh, I got the name wrong. Goldberg, the guy from with McLovin.
Oh, Evan Goldberg.
Evan Goldberg.
I have that here. I don't have that here.
Oh. How do you know those guys?
Huh?
How do you know those guys?
Local Vancouver. Jewish. That's it.
Ah. The Jew crew.
I guess so. I'll have to be honest on that one. I don't know where
they... Is it kind of like I have a lot of black friends, and they all know each other. Is that the same kind of thing?
No, not exactly, but yeah.
All right, all right.
Where is the Evan interview? I don't know. Where is it? Yeah, it's not here.
No, dude, you have nothing to worry about, man. That was awesome.
Okay, can I play Super Dave again?
Yeah, do it again, man.
All right,
rad.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Talk to you soon. All right, here it is, because we're playing interviews today, apparently, on my show, so... here it is, me with Super Dave Osborne.
Okay, here I am with Super Dave Osborne, and Dave, can I get this right? Your real first name or your real name from back in the day, David Einstein, that's true?
No, it's Bob Einstein.
Bob Einstein, I'm sorry, okay. When did you change your name?
You did a lot of good research. Didn't you?
Off to a great
show. Filled with research. All you had to do is get my real name, and you came up with the wrong name.
I was close, though, wasn't I?
Well, sure. It's great.
Awesome.
No problem. I can't wait for the next question.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep things going here. I want to go back into a day, and when I was a young child, I remember watching this show. My father had me watch it. Bizarre, Bizarre. Let's go back and talk about Bizarre, Bizarre.
Okay.
What was it like shooting Bizarre, Bizarre?
Well, it was called Bizarre.
Okay.
It wasn't Bizarre, Bizarre.
I'm doing poor at best.
What is the name of this show, Facts or Us?
Okay, tell us about the show Bizarre. I apologize.
No one ever said Bizarre, Bizarre. I thought you were having a little emotional problem where everything you were going to say is twice. So that I was going to have to say everything twice. Bizarre was the first series in the history of cable television starring John Biner, and it went on for 6 years, and it started in Canada and on Showtime in the States, and we shot a more risque version for Showtime and a cleaner version for Canada, and it was an absolute blast.
And were you doing your own stunts in this show?
Up to a point.
Up to a point.
Yes, when I'm on top of a bus and I go under a tunnel and I get hit under a tunnel going 50 miles an hour, I'm not actually that's not actually happening to me because I would have died many times.
So you're not actually the guy getting run over there?
Not all the time, no. Sometimes, yes, but a lot of the times, no. When a train hits you and you're inside a little car and you're actually doing it, you probably won't live if you're in there.
You did the math and you figured not a good thing to do, hey?
Exactly.
And was there a favorite scene in Bizarre that Super Dave Osborne that brings back the best memory?
I guess King of the Road and a slam dunk I did, which was later turned into a Nike commercial, and when my head was pounded into the ground, and when I was in a race car and it was dropped into a car crusher, and then they interviewed me inside the car. I did an awful lot of stunts in those days.
Right, and you guys actually ended up having a Super Dave cartoon also, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We've taken this character far enough that they could burn us at the stake, I think. We did a movie, cartoons, everything.
Is Super Dave coming back anytime soon?
Well, it's funny you should ask. I don't know why, but no, I'm currently in talks with a network, an American network, to do 6 half-hour specials. If everything comes to fruition and if they agree to do it exactly as I want to do it, then yes.
Ah, so you're at the point where you got to call the shots, though, hey?
Well, if I don't, it won't be the way I want it, and then it wouldn't be too good.
Right. And are you bringing back a lot of the old cast to shoot this one?
I'll definitely bring back Don Lake. I'm not sure about Fuji. I will have a Fuji, but the original Fuji I'm not sure about.
Terrific. Because Fuji was also in the cartoon, wasn't he?
He absolutely was.
Terrific. And obviously, you know, recent people and TV in recent years, Maury Funkhauser on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's Marty Funkhauser.
I'm missing everything.
How long have you been doing this show?
We started in January, actually.
I kind of like it because nothing is ever really right. But you say it with a lot of confidence. Of course, everyone loves Maury Funkhauser.
Marty Funkhauser.
I used to have an agent who got names wrong like that all the time, important names. And we'd ask him to book someone, and he'd book someone that was close to who we wanted, but never the right person.
But my agent's doing it. Eli's doing it right. You are, in fact, Super Dave Osborne. We at least have you here?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Tell us about shooting Curb Your Enthusiasm and how this one started.
Well, it's just a lot of fun. It's similar to the way I did my show in that everything is ad lib. You have a premise and an area which you have to follow and fill in, but the dialogue is all ad lib, so it makes it 10 times more fun.
And did Larry David approach you for this role, or did you try out for it, or how did
no,
that
no,
work?
I don't try out for things, but thanks a lot. No, yes, Larry called me and asked me if I would like to do it, and I said yes, and we did it. And we've done it for a few years now, and people seem to like it, so I think it's a great show, and it's a lot of fun.
And the episode
you
I want
to miss up my name in Ocean's 13 too, as long as you're doing it.
I haven't seen Ocean's 13 all.
Oh,
actually.
Well, why would you do research? Why waste your time in doing research when you're talking to a guest?
Exactly. Maybe
you could see it after you do run this interview.
I'll do it.
Then you could ask me a question when I'm not on.
What would the answer be?
I don't know what the question is, so I can't really do it.
Oh, that's too bad. Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Dodger Stadium episode. You guys were actually filming in the middle of a game there?
I'll tell you a great story about that. Yep. Not only that, but yes, we were. But about 6 months after that episode aired, I got a call, and an attorney said, my client says that he was at the Dodger game when they were doing a Super Dave episode. I said, no, it was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. He said, oh, but were you in it? I said, yes. I said, what is your client up for? He said, murder. I said, I'll tell you what, call this number. And so I gave him the number of Larry. And they went over there, and his client had been in jail for 6 months, convicted of murder. They didn't believe. No, it's a true story.
Yeah, I know. I actually, I'm not. I don't mean to laugh.
It was real. They looked at five cameras, nothing. The sixth camera showed him in the background with his boy.
So that's when the murder took place, and he was actually in your episode in a camera shot.
Yes, he was murdering his little boy, and we got to see that, and it was a lot of fun. No, it got him out of jail because it was an excuse.
That's where he was. Wow. So that had to make you feel good. I mean, and that
it
actually
did. This silly show actually acquitted someone of murder. However, there were still 3 hours unaccounted for, so I'm not sure if he did it or not. But I do know he was at the ball game, and the miracle was he happened to be sitting in that section, or they never would have seen him.
Wow, so there you go. Awesome. Super Dave Osborne with us right now. Super Dave, thanks so much for doing it. And you're also...
Well, thank you for getting everything wrong. I've never had an interview where every single thing was not right, and it makes me feel kind of neat.
You like golf, though, don't you?
I love golf.
What's your handicap?
I'm about 14.
All right, you're decent. What's your best club? What's your money shot?
I don't know. I drive the ball pretty well. I mean, when you're a 14, you don't have a best club. But I can play okay. I'm not quite yet Tiger. I don't have everything perfected. My short game is not what it should be. And, of course, putting is putting.
There you go. And
you play golf?
I play golf, yes.
And what's your handicap?
I'm about an 18, so not as good as you.
No, so you're probably about a 27.
Well, you can tell I can't even count probably, right? So.
No. Your score, give me a 5 after you've been in the lake twice, doesn't really work.
Well, keep in mind, we are up here in Canada, and, you know, you're from Winnipeg. I got that right, didn't I?
I'm not from Winnipeg.
Where are you from? My
partner's from Winnipeg.
Well, where are you from?
I'm from California.
Oh, we're really blowing this, eh?
But you know what? It doesn't matter because everyone thought I was Canadian because I was on for 12 straight years, and I love the Canadian people. They're just nice Americans.
There you go. So that,
and
you...
I love Toronto. I loved working there.
Have you ever been out to Vancouver?
Yes, I have.
What'd you think of our fair city?
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. It does rain 24 hours a day for 6 months, but if you don't hang yourself and you can wait till the summer, it is beautiful.
Perfect. And that's why you got to give me some slack here. I can't golf for half the year, Super Dave.
I know that.
So that's got to play into my high handicap.
I know.
So there you go. Awesome. Super Dave Osborne. Super Dave.
Well, this has been, look, I've done 40 Carson shows, 50 Letterman, and Larry King, everything. This has been the most unusual interview, I have to be honest with you.
Perfect. I love you for doing this, Super Dave. Thanks for staying with me. And
you're very welcome, and keep going, and just don't do any research. It's crazy. It's a waste of time.
Enjoy the beautiful weather of Southern California. We've got pouring rain here today.
All right. Well, stay inside.
Okay. Thanks, Super Dave.
Bye.
2:38 to go. The clock does stop.
Well,
that'll
be a 98-yard field goal.
A 98-yard field goal attempt.
Have you ever seen the movie with the horse? Where the horse kicks this long?
Yes, absolutely.
They need the horse. 2:38 to go. Birds
Somebody
down.
Get the horse.
Second down and 18 for the Clan of Throne 37. We got our streaker.
Here's there the streaker.
Is. Davies dropped back. He's got a throw.
Threw it
now
to
he's
the streaker.
It. And the streaker, I think, got Simon Fraser a first down. We got security getting after him. He's into the, Sam, you call it.
He's
you
into
call
the
it.
End zone, and he's breakdancing in the end zone bare naked. He's being chased by security, and he's going to the hill. Security
down.
Fell down.
Go.
Security is
go.
Gone.
He's gone. For
get up the fence.
Oh, he's going. Go, go.
He's going to make it out of here, folks. He's going to make it out of here bare naked.
He's got to climb the fence. There he goes. Oh, he's going to do it with the jump.
You gotta love college football.
Oh, hold on here.
Hi, this is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
That's my pride and joy station identification. Quit taking pictures.
it's very unsettling. Whatever. Yeah, whatever is right. All right, we're playing interviews today because there's a lot of sports to talk about today. So we're just playing interviews with non-athletes. That's the show today. Old interviews too. Nothing that I've done today. Anyways, here's another interview because I thought the Trailer Park Boys interview was terrible. That's what I told you that, didn't I?
I liked it.
Oh, you're on.
Am I on? I liked it a lot. I think it was awesome. It was an interview full of nothing, and sometimes it's the best thing ever.
It was. I guess, yeah, you didn't have to think listening to that interview, did you?
No, you didn't. And yeah, it was fun. They just rambled on. And like the caller said, one guy sounded like he was drunk the entire time. And the other guy was like stoned out of his mind.
Was it relaxing maybe to hear an interview like that? You know, like, because you're...
I felt good about myself. I'm not going to lie. Because I felt like somebody out there was just as crazy, if not crazier, than me.
There you go. Except they're getting paid to be that way.
Can't hear anything. Oh, yeah, I know. And I'm not, so maybe they're smarter than I am still.
Well, here's my last interview I'm going to play today. Have you ever heard of the comedian Margaret Cho?
Yes, she was here. Wasn't she just here?
She was just here, I interviewed her. Oh, wicked. But, you know, I'm playing it now, and she was here on Friday.
Yeah, Friday, that's right.
So I was sick when I did this one.
Okay.
This was on Thursday, and this is an interview, because I thought the Mr. Leahy and Randy interview was terrible. This is one I'm pretty sure wasn't very good.
On your part or on hers?
On my part.
Why?
Huh?
Why do you think it's terrible?
I just don't think it's a very funny interview.
Okay.
The one I'm about to play. I was unprepared.
Yeah.
And
why is there a recurring theme that you were unprepared, Daryl? That's what I want to know. Seemingly... I don't know. It seems to be ongoing theme, the pattern of things.
The pattern of things?
Yes.
That's
well, it's not so much a pattern as it's just a stream.
How it is.
A current.
Just how it is.
Yes.
But no, so I was unprepared and I was sick, too. Yes. I had a very bad cold that day.
Yes.
You might even hear me not sounding right during this interview.
Okay.
So that's the situation. Because I'm still not feeling quite well today either.
Me neither.
Yeah. Nobody likes to hear somebody talk about them having a cold.
No.
It completely people completely uninterested.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a fever, people might listen a little.
Yeah. Well, when I was talking back there about how I was sick and this was the first, today's the first day where I feel okay again. Mm-hmm. Were you listening or were you just not even listening at all?
In one ear, out the other.
Yeah, it's true.
In one ear, out the other.
But I feel good now, so it's okay.
When did you say that?
I know. See, you weren't even listening. You jerk. Listen to my Super Dave interview instead. I was like, whatever.
All right, so here's Margaret Cho.
All right.
Here's Margaret. So are you a fan of Margaret Cho?
I'm indifferent.
And it turned out my neighbor, she actually has like a DVD of one of the shows she did. So I probably should have watched that the night before.
Yeah, maybe.
Also, I have seen her on stage before. And this one I had a lot of advance. What I'm going on too long here?
No, you were looking at the clock, so I started looking at the clock. I have class in 10 minutes too, so.
Oh, well, I have to look at the clock.
I know, but still, I don't know.
It's right here. I'm very programmed to do that.
Yeah, I was
in this room.
I was following where you were looking.
Quite fascinating, eh?
It's 6:50, 6:49.
God, it's ticking slow.
Yeah.
It's ticking slow.
By the second.
All right, so here it is, a not very good interview with Margaret Cho. And when we get back, maybe we can discuss if it was my fault or her fault.
If I'm still here.
Anyways, and I'd like to hear from our callers there.
Yeah, callers, call in.
Who wanted to hear the Trailer Park Boy interview. In its completion.
Mm-hmm.
Time to play it, eh?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
I think so. Yeah, now's the time.
Oh, it's a CD. I forgot about
press
that.
Play. It's just play.
CD.
Play.
I have to have the pod on.
Okay, here I am with Margaret Cho, a very famous comedian, will be at the Queen Elizabeth Theater tomorrow night, Friday, March 28th, for her beautiful tour. So, Margaret, first off, tell us about this tour. Tell us about your stand-up and what made you want to put Vancouver into the mix.
Well, I love Vancouver, and I always play there when I come on my new tours, and I really enjoy it there, and so I wanted to bring my show there. And my new show is called Beautiful, and it's very raunchy, very wild, very crazy, and it's a stand-up comedy show, which I haven't done just a stand-up comedy show in a while. I've been doing a couple other things in the last few years. This is my first stand-up comedy show in about 3 years, and I'm very excited to bring it there.
Awesome. So, Margaret, you say very raunchy, very wild. What can we expect here?
Well, I can't even repeat it. I can't even say anything from it because it's so out of it, out of the realm of polite conversation. I think because I'm older, I just turned 39, so I'm at that age where I'm just willing to say anything.
Who cares anymore? Hey, just let her rip, huh?
Just let her rip.
Awesome. And you started the tour in Australia, I read. What was that like?
It was really great. I was there with Kathy Griffin and Cyndi Lauper and Olivia Newton-John. So it was a fag hag summit. It was so exciting and really tremendous, and I had a beautiful time.
Because they're a little wild, too. At least Kathy Griffin's wild. Is Cyndi Lauper also wild?
She's wild. She's so fun, and she's my really, really good friend, and I really love her. And so I've been on tour with her before, and she just really makes me laugh, and she's just a beautiful person, so it's a lot of fun.
Cool, and Kathy Griffin, obviously, she's also completely crazy, hey?
She's awesome. Yeah, she's really cool.
Great, and, you know, you're coming into Vancouver here, but you're also going straight to Las Vegas tomorrow night. Is Las Vegas a place you can get away with maybe saying more things?
I don't know. I mean, I think Vancouver's pretty progressive. I find that Vancouver is really, I don't know, it's pretty, people are pretty willing to do sort of go with anything.
Cool. And also, you know, on this tour, you've done lots of stand-up over the years. The one that I loved that you did was Notorious Cho 2001. Now, was that the one where you were doing the take on your grandmother? Was that that tour?
Oh, yes, it was my mother, yes.
Oh, it was your mother.
Absolutely. Well, I'm doing a lot of her also in this show, so she'll be a very big presence in my new show as well.
Are those real takes on your mother, and what does she think about you putting in your show? What does she think about it?
Oh, she loves it. She thinks it's hilarious, so she's very into it. She's really a big fan as well.
Cool. And opening up for you, you've got Kelly, the internet sensation, opening up here in Vancouver also?
Yes, she's wonderful, and also the person who that is, it's Liam Sullivan, and he's the creator of Kelly, and he'll be on hand as well. He actually does many characters, so it's a lot of fun.
Awesome, and going back into your TV days, Margaret, of course there was the television sitcom All-American Girl. Is that something Margaret Cho's going to be look at doing anytime in the future, back to TV?
Yes, I'm doing a new show. It's called The Cho Show, and it's going to be on VH1, and it's a reality show, so it's a little different than anything I've done before. And I'm really excited about it. It's really funny. I'm shooting that right now, too, so it's going to be really amazing.
Okay, because, you know, obviously there's a lot more TV shows. You have to understand from our perspective, there's a lot more TV shows down in the States that are reality than up here in Canada. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I was just down in the States, and I was watching the Bret Michaels Rock of Love show, and of course...
Oh, I love that show, yes.
Flavor of Flav.
That's incredible.
Well, my question is, though, you have Flavor of Flav 3, Rock of Love 2. So I'm a little weirded out that they keep going with these shows, considering they're trying to find their true loves.
They're trying to find their true love, and sometimes it takes a lot of people.
Awesome. But the Margaret Cho reality TV show, what's this about?
Well, this is just about following my life and all the things that I do. So, like, this last week, I made a porn, so people will be able to watch that.
You made a real... How did that come about, making the porn?
Well, I recorded a single, and then I was trying to find a way to promote it, so I made a sex tape. So that's sort of how... That's sort of how it works. It's a lot of fun. It's not real, but it's fun.
Yeah, how does it... I mean, you know, you're obviously... It's a reality TV show, but if you say something... Do they actually say, cut, Margaret, that's a funny idea, but it just didn't come out right. Can you say it again? Does that happen on these?
Oh, no. It's not really like that. It's like they just let you go. You just do it. You just live. And they just film you while you're living. It's really great. It's really cool.
Cool. And it has to be awesome for you because, obviously, All-American Girl, you know, there was the whole thing with your weight and, you know, all those entire issues there. But now on these reality TV shows, it's I'm Margaret Cho, I get to do what I want, and people are buying it. That has to be a wonderful feeling.
It's a really great feeling.
So how long did that process take, though, do you think, that society's now into these kind of shows?
Well, I think it's just a very it's an interesting phenomenon, but I think it's a really great thing. I mean, it's a really cool idea, and I really enjoy watching reality shows, so I think it's a perfect format for me.
Terrific. Margaret Cho with us right now. Margaret, just a couple more questions here. What is your favorite reality TV show?
Well, I like The Bad Girls Club, which is very fun on Oxygen. And then I also love Project Runway, which is a very important show for everybody to watch. I love. And so I just love the format. I think it's very, it's familiar to me because the stand-up comedy is such a sort of a live kind of improvisational skill, so, or what you're into. So that's what I'm really into doing, you know, into using those skills.
Awesome. And have you got a tattoo, or are you going to get a tattoo when you come into Vancouver?
Now, I don't know. I have to try to figure out. I should probably maybe go see who is it that's up there, the Flying Dutchman. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes.
So I think I got to go see him.
Terrific. Margaret Cho with us right now. Margaret, thanks so much for doing this. The Beautiful Tour is in Vancouver, Friday, March 28th at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. Margaret, thanks so much for doing this, and enjoy your stay in Vancouver.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Margaret.
Notice, Mike, I am plugging a show for the first time last Friday.
Not bad.
You're getting closer. not too far off.
I think you got some information correct.
On that one, yeah. I was better.
Yeah.
But those are three interviews I didn't prepare for. That one, I was very sick. And I just thought I could wing it, kind of. No, didn't work out so well, the Margaret Cho. And did you hear any of the... Are you a Trailer Park Boy fan?
I heard a little bit on the way in.
Garbage, I thought.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I like when you... They have to be in character all the time.
They were in character, yeah.
I think that's part of their contract, is they have to be in their character.
And that's
constantly.
It. Even on the... Oh, you have to talk into this thing.
Yeah, thanks for coughing all over the microphone.
Ah, the cold's almost gone now. So, all right, let's do a little sports today, Mike, because I haven't done that yet.
It is a sports show.
Right? It is a sports show. So let's do a little sports here. Let's check the hockey scores. Or should we check how I'm doing in my Yahoo pool? Which one should we do here? St. Louis currently leading Nashville. It's now 3-1.
Ooh, they're catching up.
St. Louis over the Nashville Predators. 7:37 to go in the second period. You know, if you're a Canuck fan, you know, big game for Vancouver, this Nashville one. Vancouver currently leads Nashville by 1 point in the standings for eighth place with three games to go. Vancouver plays Calgary tonight at 7 o'clock. Colorado tonight at 7 o'clock. They also trail Calgary by only 2 points for seventh place in the playoffs, so Calgary not out of the woods yet for that playoff spot. Calgary plays Edmonton any minute now. So it's a fun day for hockey right now.
A lot of changes could happen.
Yeah, this is almost like the first day where I guess there's been a